Gunn. It's the KSL Movie Show.
Yeah, I'm putting together a show, and I need a star.
You want people to laugh at me?
Well, they're laughing anyway, kids, so might as well get paid.
With Doug Wright and Steve Sales, the week's big movie review, movie news, trivia, games, and prizes, all on the KSL Movie Show. Here's Doug Wright.
Strengths: fearless, climbing, speed, boomerang, smoldering intensity.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is the infamous movie show. And Steve, this is going to be the last movie show of this year. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
A good idea. Absolutely. Hey, it's great to have everybody along for the final movie show of 2022. And Steve, I'm coming to you live and direct from, of course, Trenton, Missouri. It's the first time I have ever done one of my radio shows from Trenton. I understand you're making the second appearance at my hearing centers, and you are going to be broadcasting from Murray today. Actually, first appearance from my hearing center in Murray.
That is true. And did you lose a bet? Why are you in Missouri?
Well, I'm in Missouri because we're back here for a wedding reception. Ooh. So we made the cross-country trek and braved I-80 in the winter, which is quite an experience. Nothing too harrowing, but we made it and had a good time. So we probably ought to do the movie show preview, Steve. Are you ready to go for that?
I am.
Okay. And why is Steve ready for that? Because it's sponsored. Here we go.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences.
Coming up on today's movie show, the big movie review.
Okay, the big movie review. Since nothing really huge opened this week, we have some re-releases, things like that, that have happened. But we decided to do the big movie review of the year. This is the movie that knocked everybody's socks off and bucked all of the thoughts of the great executives at Paramount, but ended up being the hugest hit. Is that an official word? Hugest hit that Paramount has ever had, and it's Top Gun Maverick. So, Steve, we're going to re-review Top Gun Maverick coming up. But there are some other films that we'll be talking about, too. And again, it's such a weird mishmash of re-releases and things that we've kind of seen before, things that were actually in the theaters but then went to streaming but are in the theaters again. So what do we have? We have Glass Onion, and we have White Noise, and of course we have The Whale. Have you noticed, do you think that's kind of fizzled? I mean, any Oscar buzz, at first we were hearing a lot about it, but I'm hearing nothing now.
Well, there are rumblings, and there's some disquieting information coming out that people are kind of upset by the movie. And I can understand it. It makes sense that, people that are large would be upset by this film. But I still think Brandon Fraser is a great actor, and it's nice to see him back on the screen.
Yeah, no kidding. Brendan Fraser, I think, really did a terrific job in the movie. But it's a hard to watch movie. You know, it really is. And yeah, you know, when the movie opens, there's kind of an interesting, troubling scene there, and you can see where people who are, you know, carrying more weight, and I've, you know, not to this degree perhaps, but you know, many of us have struggled with weight over the years. You know, to have the title The Whale, I wonder who made that executive decision. Can't you just see that, the big room in the with all the executive producers and everybody sitting around going, yeah, this is a movie about a big person, and so let's call it The Whale. Somehow that just doesn't resonate.
Well, the fact that it also revolves around, you know, an essay about Moby Dick's the movie, you know, that double entendre still feels uncomfortable to me.
Yep, absolutely. All right, what else is coming up? Well, we've got the reviews that we've talked about. We've got movie news coming up as well, and a special guest, Stephen. He will be joining us, the big kahuna from the Megaplex Theaters himself, Blake Anderson will be joining us, and that will be at 10 o'clock. We'll talk about what kind of year it's been in traditional exhibitor movies, and we'll talk about what the big hits have been for this holiday season and a few other things with our really good friend, Blake Anderson, who's the president of the Megaplex Theaters. We'll also have some streaming news coming up. We've got the movie show Top 10, and Dee will join us for the quirky picks of the week. She's back here, of course, in Missouri with me. We've got telephone torture, and we've got a unique telephone torture. Jeff the Whipple contacted the movie show and said, how about if at the end of the year, now I'm not sure if this totally deflates the purpose of telephone torture, but because the whole purpose is just to have losers on the air. We all know that. But Jeff is thinking that maybe we'll have three wieners today, and they will be able to choose from three different options that we have: door number one, door number two, and door number three. So only, I don't know, Steve, that just kind of leaves me a little unsettled. The idea that we'll have three wieners on the program today and no losers.
Yeah, I knew this would get to you because this is part of your thing. I mean, this is like Christmas for you to have losers on the movie show. And without losers, what's happening? What's going on here?
I know. What is happening to the cosmic balance? What's happening to the world when only wieners are on the movie show? Maybe this is a ploy to get rid of all of our wiener t-shirts or something. I don't know what the deal is. But there you have it. That is the rundown, sponsored, of course, by our friends at Call Climate Services.
Now, the big movie review. Doug and Steve tell you exactly what they think of the biggest release of the week.
Okay, Steve, am I right, or am I right, or am I right that Maverick, absolutely, when you look back on the year, now I know a lot of the fancy-dancy critics out there have come up with other movies, but it is the success, and I think the movie of the year.
Yeah, I can't argue that. In fact, I just watched it again this week. It was only the second time I'd seen it. I watched it at home, which I thought would be different, but it was still, that last half hour was absolutely riveting.
Yeah. On every level, whether you look at kind of the bravery of the ultimate marketing of the movie, the release of the movie, Tom Cruise's performance in the movie, the special effects in the movie, the supporting, cast in that movie is just incredible. Everything about this movie, plus it is just so finely crafted, and I think some real bravery, and I think it's one of the movies, or the movie, that really kind of kicked us through the goalposts of getting back into the theaters and making us feel like we've kind of gone back home to see movies on the big screen. Let's get some sound from the motion picture called Maverick.
Everyone here is the best there is. Who the hell are they going to get to teach us?
Captain Pete Maverick Mitchell. Let me be perfectly blunt. You are not my first choice. You are here at the request of Admiral Kazansky, a.k.a. Iceman. He seems to think that you have something left to offer the Navy. What that is, I can't imagine.
With all due respect, sir, I'm not a teacher. I just want to manage the expectations.
You know, Steve, we've talked about this before, that for critics to go see a movie twice in the theater is usually quite a luxury, and there has to be a pretty unique reason for that. I've actually seen Maverick three times, Top Gun Maverick, of course, the proper name of the movie, in the theater three times, and every single time I absolutely loved the film and enjoyed it, and I would love to see it again on the big screen.
Yeah, the two things that I looked forward to seeing was the reminders were the humility that had developed in Maverick over these 30 years. I love that part of it. And I love the reverence that they showed to Val Kilmer and the fact that they wanted to make sure, in fact, Tom Cruise wanted to make sure that Val Kilmer was included in that movie. Every decision he made on this film turned out to be solid gold.
Boy, absolutely. And, we covered the Val Kilmer moment in Movie News just last week, and it was so perfect. And the crafting, and a lot of it was Kilmer's idea, you know, how to perhaps present the fact that the Admiral, you know, was failing and was having problems with his voice, which, of course, is all reality with Val Kilmer. I just thought it was handled beautifully. So, again, you know, this is one of those movies that if you're looking for a movie that that you can see over and over again, this is it. And at an interesting time right now, when no real gigantic, huge movie has been released for this particular New Year's weekend, we've got a ton of movies, so we're going to highlight a lot of them to go see. Now, Steve, and we can obviously ask Blake Anderson about this, but is Top Gun right now on the big screen back in Utah?
I believe, I'm almost sure it is. I can't imagine it wouldn't be. To be honest, I'm not absolutely positive, because it's been in and out so many times, but now that it's on Paramount Plus, I don't know if it, we'll find out.
Well, I think Deanne right now is looking it up on the Megaplex site. We're going to see what theaters it is in right now. But boy, and if you have a chance, because I know they had a special screening and brought it back onto, wasn't it IMAX they brought it back to, Steve?
And all the large format screens starting around the 2nd or 3rd of December until the 23rd at least. Beyond that, I don't know whether they were able to keep it in there, but I'm sure the theaters would have wanted it back, no question.
Boy, absolutely. And especially for this weekend. You know, what a great way to wrap up the new year. Maybe you just saw Avatar. Maybe you have already seen Puss in Boots, with which both you and I absolutely loved. So it'd be fun to revisit Maverick, Top Gun. All right, let's take a break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back with more of the infamous movie show, all here at KSL News Radio. And as I mentioned, we'll be talking with the Big Kahuna of the Megaplex Theaters. Blake Anderson will be joining us at 10 o'clock. We'll put the bite on him for all kinds of information. So stay with us. More to come on the movie show.
The movie show.
I am wondering, why are you here?
I'm looking for someone.
Looking? Found someone you have, I would say.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, it is the movie show. And Steve, you'll be glad to know, speaking of Yoda or the Mandalorian or little Yoda, you'll be glad to know that your amazing Christmas gift to me, the Mandalorian turn on, turn off clapper, that it is now installed in Eureka, Utah. And as soon as I want to turn on my Christmas tree, I just, that's it. And the Christmas tree is illuminated in Eureka thanks to the Mandalorian clapper.
Well, I'm so glad you got some use out of it. Now, I understand if you clap three times, doesn't it say something to you?
I think so, you know, but to tell you the truth, we just kind of were down there quick, and I just played with it for a second or two. But it does turn on the Christmas tree for sure.
That's cool. Well, I'm glad you got some use out of it. I thought you could probably use, you know, the entire collection. Now you have Darth Vader. Now you have Baby Yoda.
And then think of the very prestigious places where they are ensconced now. You know, Darth Vader is in my library, and Baby Yoda, Mandalorian, is down turning on the Christmas tree in Eureka. It ought to make you a proud papa.
I'm very happy.
I think it's time for some movie news. We haven't compared notes, but we'll see if there's any overlap here. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for our movie news.
This is Lowell Thomas speaking, flashing to you the news of the world.
We return now to the KSL Newsreel, the biggest stories from the world of movies, cinema, and the star-studded glamour of Hollywood.
Well, Avatar's making news, and Steve, guess where I saw Avatar? For the very first time. You will never guess unless you were listening to Jeff Kaplan and Amanda Dixon this morning.
I have no idea.
I saw Avatar on the, I loved it. Amanda said, well, did you see it in 3D? And I said, I was lucky to see it in 2D where I was. I saw it at the Prairie Theater in Ogallala, Nebraska, Night Before Last. And on one level, it was really fun. It was an old school theater that was built in the 1930s. And it is still kind of like we've talked about with a lot of small town theaters. It is the local community hangout. But I'll tell you, if you're looking for Dolby sound, if you're looking for Atmos, if you're looking for 3D, if you're looking for IMAX, it ain't there. But it was kind of fun. But we'll talk more about that a little later. But The Way of Water is already projected to reach $1 billion in only 12 days. That is unbelievable, Steve.
Yeah, it's already surpassed it. It's actually at 1.1 as of yesterday. So,
well, I must have an old story then, because they were projecting.
Well, you are in Missouri.
Well, I am in Missouri. So, what can we say? Yeah, it is really remarkable to have a movie out for less than 2 weeks, and bam, it's already at that $1 billion mark. All right, Stephen, what have you got?
Well, speaking of Avatar, they're being referred to as lengthy hangout scenes in the middle, where he ends up going to the water world and they swim around and like, wee! And people are like, well, that's where you take your bathroom break, by the way, just so you know. But also,
I took you up on that, by the way, at the Prairie Theater.
I didn't miss
a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, no. So, but here's, and this says so much about James Cameron. He says people forget to put beauty into a film. And so he says, that's why I do it. Also, I spent millions of dollars on these scenes, and you're darn well going to see them. But, yeah, that's why those are a little bit lengthy, and you're like, okay, can we get back to the story? Because James Cameron wants to see pretty pictures.
Yep, and he has lots of pretty pictures up on the screen. Nobody knows for sure, but The Way of Water, somehow the budget is between $350 to $460 million. Now, that's quite a span, $110 million of guesswork there, but nobody knows for sure. But you remember when Kevin Costner did Waterworld and it was $200 million and people were having heart attacks? Yeah. This is most likely two times at least the budget of Waterworld. So, you know, who knows?
All right, we'll keep a close eye. The marketing, by the way, the marketing movie, this has to have cost at least $700-800 million.
I thought this was an interesting story that Robert Downey Jr. in an interview the other day was just kind of reminiscing about Iron Man. And he said when it was released in 2008, there were absolutely no grand plans at all in place for this movie. No inkling of an interconnected franchise that would go on and on and on. He said the studio said, yeah, okay, make the movie, and they were ready to write the whole thing off if it bombed. This is a quote from Robert Downey Jr. He said, well, I mean, first of all, because not too many people were thinking that Iron Man was even going to have an opening weekend or do much of anything, so we were a little bit left alone. And he said it was basically ready to be written off if it tanked. He said that Jeff Bridges at one time said that, quote, he said, man, we're doing a $200 million independent movie, man. And there was just that sense that, of course, you know, there was more organization in it. But can you imagine now in hindsight, people going, yeah, make the movie. If it tanks, we'll just use it as a write-off.
You know, rarely have I seen a film where it was such a huge crowd and everybody was so into that movie and I loved it from the get-go. How do you not realize that that's going to be such a huge hit, because it was such a really well-done film?
Oh, you know, and it was gut-wrenching and heart-tugging and action-packed. I mean, everything about that movie worked, you know, from when the doctor in the cave is saving his life with the device that kind of launches, you know, Iron Man. Everything. You're absolutely right, Steve. Everything about that movie worked. Okay, what have you got for us?
There is a documentary in the works. Wednesday would have been Stan Lee's 100th birthday. And so Disney took the opportunity to announce that they are doing a documentary on Stan Lee's life. They said warts and all, they're going to have it all in there. It'll be on Disney Plus sometime in 2023 to celebrate the life of the great Stan Lee. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. And here's just a final quick story. Die Hard, this is the headline. Die Hard, officially proclaimed a Christmas movie in San Diego. Yes, the enlightened county of San Diego, in this never-ending debate about the Christmas movie status of Die Hard, a San Diego Board of Supervisors chairman, Nathan Fletcher, thank you, Nathan Fletcher, for finally taking the step to make it official, at least in one county of the great United States of America. And he said, throughout it all, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. And so hereby, I officially proclaim, by the power vested in me as chair of the San Diego County Board of Supervisors, Die Hard is officially a Christmas movie throughout San Diego County now and forever into the future. I mean, we could have put the bite on how many mayors last week. We could have had the mayor of Murray, the mayor of Eureka, the mayor of Salt Lake. We could have had the attorney general of the great state of Utah. We could have had two United States congressmen declare this an official Christmas movie, and I missed that opportunity. I blew it.
You know, it's funny that because the jazz players were asked recently what their favorite Christmas movie was, and a couple of them mentioned Die Hard. Goes, that's not a Christmas movie. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Okay, well, that does it for our movie news here at KSL News Radio. Let's take a brief break, and we will come right back with more of the movie show.
Holtzman, come on.
The hat is too much, right? Is it the wig or the hat?
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
You know, I couldn't help but think, since this is the final movie show program for this year, 2022, just, you know, how fortunate we have been to have such great sponsors on the movie show. And boy, one is certainly My Hearing Centers. You know, Matt, you and your great crew there at My Hearing Centers, we love hanging out with you. You've been such a great sponsor. And I think of all of our KSL listeners, all of our movie show listeners, that you have helped over now these many years. It is terrific. And you've got a great deal in store for people when they call you right now. Tell everybody about what is going to happen when they make the phone call to My Hearing Centers today.
We're looking for people with hearing problems to come and evaluate our new Stiletto AX product. And so if you have a hearing loss, your family member or loved one has a hearing loss, give us a call. We're going to schedule a free hearing evaluation at any of our offices. When you come in for the evaluation, and if you're identified as a person that can benefit from hearing aids, and you'd like to, we are going to let you try these hearing aids risk-free for 30 days. We talked about the automatic situation detection, the kind of the last segment. Pretty cool. It also has an AI assistant, where if you are struggling in any situation you're in, you can go to your phone. There's a little app. You can tell the app, I'm having a hard time with hearing my family, or I'm having a hard time with hearing the television. It sends, automatically goes back to your hearing aids. It makes some tiny little adjustments to your hearing aids, asks you, do you like that better? You say yes or no. If you say yes, it just locks it in there. Next time you're in that situation, whether it's watching TV or with your family or whatever, it will automatically adjust back to that setting.
I've noticed that when I watch Yellowstone, for example, yeah. I actually turn on the closed caption because they're all mumbling.
Oh.
They're like, rah, 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 rah.
Well, that could be two things, Steve. One is it could be I haven't watched Yellowstone yet. It's on the list, but I haven't watched it yet. And so it could just be the sound. I know there's some times where, like, we watch Lord of the Rings every year. And, you know, the volume on that goes from, like, really intense to, like, really quiet. I'll find myself turning up the volume and turning down the volume a little bit so I can hear it. So it could be that, or it could be that we should have you come in and do a free hearing evaluation.
Well, we talked about it earlier. Clarity is what you can hear the sounds, mm-hmm. but sometimes the words don't quite, you know, match what you think you're hearing.
Yeah, that's a great sign, bad sign, good sign, that it's time to come in and have a hearing test. And again, it might not be anything yet, or it might just be really mild and there's not anything we can really help you out with. But if it might be more severe, and if it is, then we can get you trying these Stiletto AX hearing aids again for 30 days. If you call right now as well, Steve, I'll put you in the list too. We'll do a drawing for a free set of hearing aids.
Well, I couldn't win that.
Yeah, you couldn't win that, actually. I think it's against our contract. But
did I tell you what happened? You know, that this is another client of ours where you have a real connection. That's Hale Center Theater. My wife bought me a $25 gift card to Hale Center Theater. I won the season tickets.
Oh,
and
no.
Of course, I would not and could not accept. But we got the phone call, and they said, "Hey, you've won season tickets at Hale Center Theater." And I go, "Oh, thank you very much," but no, I didn't.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. And boy, at Hale Center Theater, you just tap in, and you're probably hearing spectacularly there.
Yeah, that's another one where I've done a couple of plays. Most recently, we just went over and saw The Little Mermaid, and I took a set of hearing aids again with me just to see if they're still working. It still works great. I didn't watch the whole thing with the hearing aids in, but if you got hearing aids, you can tap right into their sound system there, and it's pretty phenomenal. You get all the music and all the acting right into your ears, so you don't have any kind of mistakes of what could be saying. You know, and it hails a little bit more difficult because they are in the round, and sometimes you don't get to see their faces. So, so without the extra little lip reading, it can be hard. So the hearing aids really help out in those kind of situations.
Let's give the number so people can call. And first and foremost, most important, take care of their hearing. And then second of all, call early and make sure you're in the drawing for these Stiletto AX hearing aids we've been talking about.
Yeah, give us a call, 801-701-1629. Again, 801-701-1629.
All right, my hearing centers, 701-1629. Let's take a break, and when we come back at the top of the hour, just after our news, we'll be talking with Blake Anderson, who's the president of the Megaplex Theaters. This is KSL-FM Midvale, KSL-AM Salt Lake City. Go.
The Movie Show.
Is it better to be feared or respected? And I say, is it too much to ask for both?
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
The Movie Show here at KSL News Radio. It'll be our final movie show of 2022. And boy, what a year it has been, and what a movie year it has been. You know, we talked earlier in the program about Top Gun Maverick really being our pick of the year. Both Steve and I agree on this. It was the movie of 2022 on every level. And then you think here we are at the very, very end of 2022 with a movie that in about 12 days already has made over $1 billion. It is remarkable with Avatar, The Way of Water. And we have, joining us on the line right now, the big kahuna of the Megaplex Theaters, the president of the Megaplex Theaters, Blake Anderson, with us. Blake, welcome to the movie show.
Thank you, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Boy, this has been a terrific year. Now, I have a confession to make. I confessed this a little earlier to Steve and some others, that I was a late bloomer on Avatar. My holiday schedule just was crazy for the screenings and everything else. So I saw Avatar earlier this morning. Amanda said, "Well, did you see it in 3D?" And I said, "I was lucky to see it in 2D. I saw it at the Prairie Theater in Ogallala, Nebraska, Blake. And I'll tell you, on one hand, it was really cool. It was really fun. It was one of those little tiny, you know, theaters built in the 1930s. And, you know, relatively, they cut the bigger auditorium in two. So, you know, Puss in Boots was showing on one side. We were on the other side. And it was a lot of fun. But, oh, my goodness, do I owe myself a readventure into the Avatar world on the Platinum or on one of your IMAX screens or one of the Atmos? I mean, 3D, you name it. I owe myself a revisit to Avatar.
Yes, you do. And I relate, Doug. I love, as I travel around, and my heart goes out to these mom and pops that run these little small theaters in communities across America. It is really the heart and soul of those communities, and I love that too. But yes, we are lucky to have the kind of technology and the kind of screens we have here in Utah. And, everyone asks me, you know, I don't really like 3D. I don't know if I should see it in 3D. And my response is, you don't have to like 3D to love Avatar in 3D. It is, James Cameron has done some amazing things it is so amazing to see it in 3D, and especially if you go to an IMAX location where you just have the full sensory going on there.
Yeah, I can't help but think of some of the scenes that I loved. I mean, when they are with the water people, basically, and they're out there with what would be the equivalent of whales in our world, and oh my goodness, the beauty of that and the tenderness of some of those scenes. I have to admit that I thought, man, this would look good on a megaplex screen.
Really is neat. And you know, we've waited 13 years for this one. James Cameron had to actually invent technology to film this this movie. And you know, it's not like the Marvel movies where there's a character that stands out or an action figure every kid has to own. The story and the beauty of it stands for itself. I have yet to meet anyone who has not liked this Avatar sequel, and that was a pleasant surprise. I was a little worried, to be honest with you. It had been so long, 13 years, but our guests are really loving this movie.
Yeah, and Steve, you were mentioning, too, and you're absolutely right. You know, I've told the story before, but I remember I walked in to see A River Runs Through It, and I was late to the screening. I got there in time to see the opening scenes, of course, but I remember I was just so hyper, and I'm sitting down, and I'm going, wow, this movie's slow. And all of a sudden, I realized that the movie wasn't slow. I was just going way too fast. And I think that's a little bit of the deal here, Steve, in Avatar. It's at some point, you really have to sit back and just kind of enjoy the beauty of it.
Yeah, you know, I talked to my grandson, who's 16 years old, and I thought, oh, he's going to have trouble with this movie. He absolutely loved it. He said, I didn't think there was a slow moment in the whole thing. I'm like, okay, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people think 3 hours, you know, they think 3 hours, oh, gosh. You know what? It doesn't feel 3 hours. You just relax and you just get caught up in it. It's amazing.
Blake, let's talk about the rest of the year. In hindsight, how was the year, not just for Megaplex theaters, but for exhibitors around the country? Was this the kind of we're breaking out of the pandemic year?
It is, and it isn't. You know, it's interesting because we had some great hits in the summer, like you mentioned, Top Gun, Thor, Minions. And everyone thought happy days are here again, and it was a wonderful, wonderful summer. But what happened in all the theaters across the country is those movies that we saw during the summer were pre-COVID made movies. They were sitting on the shelf just getting the final touches on. Then we hit fall. Hollywood was still producing these new movies. They were still trying to get caught up from the time they were shut down during the pandemic. So it wasn't until Avatar that we really are starting to see movies now that have been made post or pretty much post-pandemic. And so it's a great year. It's a good year. But because the supply was short, it was a little rougher to fully recover. But I'm telling you, as I sit here right now and have this list in front of me of 2023, it is going to be an amazing year. Finally, the supply chain for the studios and the theaters are all caught back up. And almost every month is a new and big movie coming out for next year, 2023.
Do you have a particular favorite that you're kind of keeping an eye on for maybe the first half of the year?
Yeah, I mean, I just highlighted a few of the big ones in the first half of the year. You know, there's one sitting out there that I didn't highlight that I have to mention, because every time someone sees the preview, they go, oh, and that's the Tom Hanks movie, A Man Called Otto. That comes out first week of January. That will just be a real sweet movie. But as far as the big ones go, we have Ant-Man in February. We have Dungeons and Dragons in March. We have Guardians of the Galaxy in May. The Little Mermaid, the Disney live action in May also. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse in June. And then Indiana Jones at the end of June. And then the one everyone's been waiting for, Tom Cruise again in Mission Impossible. So that just gets us through the first half.
That is an incredible lineup. And I have to tell you, and I think for many of the indie fans, there was a bit of a sour taste after the Crystal Skull. I mean, it wasn't a crash and burn, but, you know, I had hoped for more. But I have real high hopes for that.
I think we all do. And I think, you know, Harrison Ford is in it. He has a lot of control of what's happening in this one. That has the potential to be another Top Gun Maverick, you know, kind of rebringing back the franchise, having the original characters there. That could be a really fun one for us.
As far as, again, looking back over our shoulder, was Top Gun Maverick the hands-down biggest hit of the year for the Megaplex theaters?
It was for all theaters. Top Gun took the number one spot in for all chains nationwide. The interesting thing, though, is nationwide, Black Panther is number two. But for us here at Megaplex Theaters, Avatar just took that number two spot. It's playing so well in our location. So even though, you know, Avatar for the nation is still down the list a little bit, for us, it is number two.
Isn't that amazing in this short a period of time? You know, you think back in the old days when movies used to stay in a theater for months and months and months, and even with some of the all-time classics, even years, to think that a movie could make that kind of money now in just a matter of less than 2 weeks.
It is unbelievable. And thankfully it did. I mean, James Cameron spent so much money on this. And Avatar is one of those movies that have legs. It will, when we say it has legs, means that it will play for quite some time. You know, a lot of people I've talked to said, you know, we got a lot going on during the holiday. We're going to come out in January. A lot of people say, hey, I'm going to bring my grandkids back. I loved it that much. I'm going to bring my kids back with me. So, you know, I think Avatar will just continue to build, but it is an amazing movie, and it is making a lot of money for James Cameron, and I'm glad for that because he needs a lot to cover the expense of it.
Boy, no kidding. When I looked at that number, and nobody has it pinned down, but it's like $360 to $400 and whatever million dollars. Nobody knows for sure. Yeah, he's got to make a lot of money to make that back. Now, here's the most important question that I'm probably going to ask during this brief interview, and that is, have you finally come to grips with and figured out, for my benefit, the Banshees of Inisherin?
Well, you know, I saw that it got a Golden Globe nomination, and it may get an Oscar. And although I continue to scratch my head, I think it might be worthy of that. It was a very unique movie, that's for sure.
Well, you and I talked about it. I mean, all of us have been thinking about it, you know, ever since we saw it. And you just admire so much about the movie, but it is so unique. Was there a movie that you and all of the great folks there at the Megaplex theaters were really surprised that it did not do better this past year? We've talked about the big wieners, as it were. Any that kind of really amazed you that it didn't do better?
You know, the movie that fell flat on its face was Strange World, Disney's Strange World. You know, usually in Utah, anything with Disney, anything animated, does really well for us. And Strange World just did not resonate with people here in Utah. And it just didn't, and that's true worldwide. It just has not performed like Disney thought it would do. So that was a surprise.
Isn't that amazing when you think of it? Because I was looking at it, and it's ready after its brief 5 weeks, just a little over a month, to drop out of the top 10. And it made only $413,000 domestically last week. And overall, it's only made $35.6 million. That is surprising by almost any standards.
Yeah, for a Disney opening, most Disney animated movies make that in the first weekend. So that was a real shock that didn't do well.
What about the Fablemans? Did that fare any better at the Megaplex theaters than it did nationally and internationally?
It did okay. You know, the problem with the Fablemans is I don't know what target audience that Spielberg was directing to. He never really owned it, never said, this is my biography. Yet you could kind of tell it was, but then you're not sure how much creativity and, you know, how liberal he got with the story. It just, it had the potential to be great, and it was a really good movie, but no, it did not resonate real well with us either.
Yeah, it was, because I love Spielberg. And I think he's one of the greatest filmmakers, certainly of my lifetime, and certainly on a very short list of great filmmakers in all of cinematic history. But yeah, I struggled with that movie more than I thought that I would. I'm still glad I saw it, but I struggled with it. Now, here's something that's a little weird, and maybe Blake, you can explain this. Jeff V. Whipple contacted us and said that today, to end the new year, I think this is an honor of you, because every time we have losers on telephone torture, I know you break out in a sweat. So Jeff V. Whipple has said, how about if we have three wieners today on telephone torture, and they will have the choice of the Platinum X movie experience or the Saturday the 31st only family four-pack of the Disney 100 celebration, or they can choose a traditional. Are you at the root of this? Are you the big wiener guy?
I can honestly say I didn't suggest this, but I'm thrilled. You guys know, especially when we're live together, it is the telephone torture is torture for Blake. I sit there and just cringe. Calling our best fans and our guests losers. I realize it's part of the program. I bought into it. I pay for it. But, you know, I want everyone to win. And I think Jeff knew that. He knew I would be on today. So we're going to have everyone win today.
You know, my favorite thing, and Steve has witnessed this as well, when we are doing telephone torture and we are, you know, lauding the big losers, Blake just sits there, Steve, remember last time? And he just goes, I wish I could give these people a car.
Oh, he starts rocking back and forth like, oh, no, what have I done?
I know.
Well, Blake, your fans are wonderful, and they seem to like being losers, but it just kills me. Kills me every time.
Well, we certainly appreciate the great relationship that we have with the Megaplex theaters. It is incredible right here, the epicenter of the quality and technology and family friendliness and everything else of the Megaplex theaters is remarkable. And you have drawn the attention of exhibitors from around the world to what you do and how you do it. And you've been doing it now for over 20 years. So congratulations. We so appreciate the great relationship, and we wish you and all of our great friends at the Megaplex Theaters a very, very happy new year.
The Movie Show.
We'll soon find out that some wizarding families are better than others, Potter. You don't want to go making friends with the wrong sort.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's a movie show coming to you from, of course, Murray, Utah. And that's where my hearing centers is. We're going to talk with Michelle coming up in just a moment. But also coming to you from Trenton, Missouri today. A lot of people in Utah are familiar with a lot of the history back in this area. Davies County is right next door to where we are. That's where Dee's uncle was born, and Dee taught school for a while over in Jamesport, which isn't far from, and people in Utah will be familiar with this, at least a lot of people will, Adirondack and Far West and so on. So it's an interesting place of the world, and it's fun to be back here on the old family farm. Stephen, I think we need to kind of re-review a few movies here, and one is Glass Onion, A Knives Out Story. Let's get a little sound on that.
Benoit Blanc, the detective?
Mr. Prompt, I cannot overstate my gratitude to be here.
When's the murder mystery start?
I've invited you all to my island.
Hi!
Because tonight, a murder will be committed. My murder.
Once you're dead, will we still be able to talk to you?
Yeah, I'm not playing dead the whole weekend, dude.
Well, this is truly delightful.
Glass Onion, A Knives Out Story. You know, Steve, you and I have talked about this before. I've had the chance to watch it for a second time. I will admit, watching it on a small screen for a second time, you know, I enjoyed it maybe a little bit more. But for me, this was still, and maybe I just set the bar way too high, and maybe the first movie was way too good, but this still is an inferior movie. I mean, let's just be straight up.
Well, actually, for me, watching it a second time, I picked up so much more. I was really surprised how much more I liked this movie. There were details that I had missed, and when it kind of does that, revisits certain scenes through another character's perspective, I thought that was really well done. So I'm kind of a fan now.
Did you change your review of it, though? Did you change your grade? Because I enjoyed it more, too, you know, watching the second time. And I think it's because my expectations had been lowered. And instead of having the first movie in my memory, I had my first viewing of this movie in my memory.
Yeah, I think I went from like a B minus to a B plus.
Yeah, I'm at a B. I you know, on my scale, it'd be 3 stars. But the first one was so much magic. But I think if you can go in and not do so many comparisons, because it's a whole different story. I mean, there's nothing even that's similar. This is a high-tech, whole different deal. And if you kind of embrace that, I think you end up liking this movie a little bit more.
I think also the fact that it really bothered the director, he said that he wished that they hadn't put a Knives Out mystery after. Although if you watch the movie, it just says The Glass Onion. It doesn't have anything else right on there. But when you see the marquee, they throw the extra on there. He goes, because it's a completely different movie, and it's getting, you know, maybe some praise for an adapted screenplay, but it's really not. It's a whole new movie with one character that's similar.
Yeah, this is not a sequel. You know, it's just a whole different deal. And there's so little other than, you know, the main character, of course, that that is a carryover. And so I think perhaps I don't blame them for being upset about that. I think it makes a direct comparison. I think it sets up expectations for the original Knives Out. So you're up to a 3.5 or a B plus, and
yeah,
I'm still pretty much right at a B on this one, or a 3 star. Let's talk about the whale too, while we have just a second. We alluded to this a little bit earlier. We were talking about the expectations for awards and so on, and when this movie was first being viewed in various ways, you know, they'll appear at a film festival or whatever, there was a lot of buzz. And I thought, you know, as a matter of fact, my quote to the movie rep when I came out of the movie, that I was kind of overwhelmed by it because, you know, the way it ended, because of Brendan Fraser, because of the grit in this story. And I said, you know, we're hearing a lot of buzz about this for Oscars, and maybe we ought to listen. I still believe that with Brendan Fraser, but a lot of the other buzz that we had talked about really has fizzled and faded.
Yeah, there were a couple of things that I was curious about. One of them was, why are people so upset about this movie? And one of the things that I really thought was interesting was, remember in the movie how he would not go to a hospital? It just sounded like he was just afraid to go. But people that are like seriously overweight, for them, going to a medical facility is a very traumatic experience, to the point where maybe they don't even fit in the MRI machine, or, you know, things like that just make it so horrifically difficult, you know, mentally and physically, for them to actually take themselves. And I thought that would have been cool if they had included that, but instead they just made it sound like he didn't care, that he didn't really want to go because he thought he was done. And I think people felt like, you know, just because you're overweight doesn't mean it's the end of life. And that's kind of, that did open my eyes a bit to what was happening in that film.
You know, it's interesting because on that very topic, I took a whole different view. I didn't think it was because he was afraid to go to the hospital. I think he had a death wish. I really do. I think because of his broken heart, because of his broken family. And I think it wasn't just giving up. I think he actually had a death wish. And I think we see that several times where it's almost like an overdose. And so I think that that's one of the things that is fascinating about this movie, is that there are so many different interpretations of it, and it affects everybody in such a unique and different and even disturbing way.
Yeah, there are several characters I really quite liked in that movie. His friend and caretaker that would come visit him and take care of him, and his ex-wife.
Yeah.
I thought the daughter was a little bit too harsh, even when she started to realize, you know, that he really cared about her, she still had this very edgy sense about her that kind of bugged me.
Yeah, that's kind of her character, though, even in Stranger Things. And I've seen her on a couple of the talk shows, and boy, she is she's a spitfire. She really is. So, but yeah, she was awfully intense. You go, boy, you know, how do you end up hating somebody who's trying so hard so much? And I agree with you on that. I think she was just a breath over the top. What ultimately, now that you've kind of thought about it, sometimes the dust needs to settle on a movie a little bit. Where are you on the grade?
I'm at a B on this film. I appreciate it, and it's really nice to see. And by the way, Michelle's corrected me on the pronunciation. It's Fraser.
It's Fraser. Yeah.
Fraser, not Frasier.
Fraser.
Yeah, he's in an interview with Adam Sandler, and it's Fraser, apparently. There's no I, just
Fraser.
Oh, yeah, another one we've screwed up over the years.
I know. Brendan
Fraser it's such a breath of fresh air to see him back in a movie.
Yeah. But that's what the movie show's for. It's a place where those of us who screw up can feel comfortable.
Exactly.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the movie show Top 10!
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
I don't know, the dogs are howling. The farm animals are freaking out and heading toward the north pasture right now, Steve. I don't know what happened to them.
I'm right behind them.
You're heading for the north pasture there at My Hearing Centers?
I am, yes, sir.
Okay, I can just see Michelle trying to corral you so you don't stampede the front desk there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the movie show Top 10 is sponsored, believe it or not, by the great people at Call Climate Services. All right, number 10 is Strange World. And boy, to hear Blake Anderson talk about that, what a disappointment that's been for exhibitors and for those who go to movies. That has not fared well at all.
Yeah, that movie actually made my naughty list. I was like, eesh, yikes.
Ooh, the naughty list. Then The Menu. This also, when you consider the star power in this movie, that has not done well. Around $35 million domestically. Is that making any money internationally?
About the same internationally at 35, so it's at 69 right now.
Yeah, The Fabelmans. We talked with Blake Anderson about this. Big kahuna at the Megaplex theaters. And wow, 7 weeks. This is a Steven Spielberg movie. Domestically, just a little over $10 million. That's almost tragic.
Well, the problem is it's not one of Steven's escape movies. It's a family film, and it just didn't resonate with people.
The Whale. But, you know, boy, I mean, he's done heavy-duty movies before. I mean, the little minor movie called Schindler's List, and when they're done right, people will go see it. I just think this was missing a spark, and boy, I feel like I'm you know, criticizing the maestro himself, but wow, I don't know. It just didn't resonate. The Whale, we've talked about. That's the number 7 movie. Number 6, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. That's hanging in there. And Violent Night. This has made over $42 million domestically. Are the other folks in the universe enjoying this?
They are, about half as many. They're at 23, so it's at 67 worldwide.
Babylon. Wow. You know, this is a movie that you and I didn't even quite know how to even talk about. You know, normally you try to describe things that you enjoyed, describe things that bothered you. And describing the things that bother you in this movie is almost incomprehensible. But it does have some amazing moments, insights into old-time Hollywood. But the crap you have to wade through is just almost unbearable.
Both figuratively and literally.
And literally, yeah.
Yeah, that movie was a bucket of mistakes.
Yeah, boy, no kidding, including the length. And if you had edited in the right spots, you know, it could have made a real difference. But then again, you know, I mean, I don't know. It might have been like we've joked about, you know, you put Goodfellas through the language barrier, and you end up with a 20-minute movie. I Want to Dance with Somebody. We caught up on that the other day. You know, I liked it, didn't love it. I think it fell short of really portraying, you know, what an amazing talent and an amazing life Whitney Houston. I did appreciate some of the backstory, though, her family and realizing how gifted and talented her mother was. I thought her father came across a little bit snidely whiplash, that final scene in the hospital. Wow. So, yeah. I don't know. It was just okay.
Yeah, I didn't learn a lot more than I expected. I thought the music, because, you know, Clive Davis was part of one of the producers, makes sense that the music would work. But the story, and even Bobby Brown, who was, you know, considered kind of a jerk, he came off pretty light in this, I thought. So,
yeah. I like Stanley Tucci, though. You know, of course, he's a favorite actor of mine. Yeah. Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. You and I both really, really liked this movie. I think had it not been that it was up against Avatar, it would have done a whole lot better. But I think it's going to hang in there. I do. I think it's going to have legs. I think now that a lot of people have seen Avatar, they go, hey, let's take the kids and see Puss in Boots.
You know, when I first came in, Matt said the first thing, he took his family to see Puss in Boots based on our recommendation. And I think that's part of the problem, is that people don't really know what to expect. They're thinking maybe this is the third in a sidebar, you know, Shrek kind of movie. But it is as good as anything that the Shrek people have put out by far.
Right. And then Avatar, we've talked about this ad nauseum. It is... It's an amazing movie on many levels, and it's just killing it at the box office. The Movie Show Top 10, ladies and gentlemen, sponsored by our friends at Call Climate Services. Before we hit the top of the hour, let's talk again with Michelle at My Hearing Centers. And Michelle, we still have an opportunity where people can win the very Stiletto AX hearing aids that you and Matt have been talking about today. I'm assuming we can still accommodate a few more callers.
We can indeed. We've got some spaces still left for people to come in to try those hearing aids. Risk-free for 30 days. We'll give them a reward for just coming in and trying them, and we'll enter them into the drawing. So it's kind of winning all around. You know, we've checked all the boxes. Everyone wins.
When you think of how important your hearing truly is, and the consequences of not taking care of your hearing. I mean, it's not just about losing those magic moments of hearing, you know, your little grandchild talk. I've talked a lot about that. They're a little hard to understand anyway, even those that have perfect hearing. But when they're learning to talk and they're saying such sweet things, and I just can't imagine missing those. And if you miss them, they don't come back. Now, your hearing, you can do something about, but that moment won't come back.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And people don't realize how much they're missing until they get hearing aids. I mean, we had a patient come in, and he came back in for a follow-up. And he goes, yeah, I took my car into the shop this last week because it was making a funny sound. And turns out it was just the blinker. The blinker was on. He's like, I didn't realize I wasn't even hearing the blinker on. Like little things like that you know you hear, and people don't. You just don't realize that you've missed it. He's like, yeah, I had absolutely no idea. He was astounded. And almost, you know, you could see the kind of sadness in his eyes of how much have I missed, you know, how many little things have I just missed? And it just connects us to people that when you lose it, you know, we just kind of start to withdraw. It becomes more of a hassle to communicate than it's worth. You know, you ask someone to repeat yourself of what'd you say, huh? And they repeat themselves. You still didn't get it. And you go, you know what? Never mind. It's fine. And you just miss out on life. And that's why we want people to try these.
Instead of going, never mind, you ought to go to the phone and make the phone call that we have been talking about at 801-701-1629. Take the 30-day challenge. Be rewarded at the end, whether you buy the hearing aids or not. And if you call right now, you're going to be in the drawing.
Yeah, exactly. So call 801-701-1629. We'll get you into that drawing. We'll get you set up with a risk-free trial of these hearing aids, and your life will change just like that.
We are at the top of the hour. Let's take a break, and we will come right back. This is KSL-FM Midvale, KSL-AM Salt Lake City.
It's the official quirky pick of the week on the KSL Movie Show.
Well, the quirky pick of the week. Steve, we are back here on the family farm that Dee and her extended family, Dee and her sister, of course, take care of the very place we are sitting right now. And then the extended family. This is a big farming operation, right, Deanne?
We like to call it the fatherland.
Ooh. Okay. The fatherland. Okay, I'm not going to say anything about that. Did you ever imagine, what do you think Grandpa Shaw would think if somebody had told him back when you were a little girl that, you know, one day Diane and her husband will be sitting in the back bedroom doing a radio broadcast that will be heard all over the Intermountain West and originate from Salt Lake City? What do you think Grandpa Shaw would have said?
I think he would have wondered if you had a good tractor.
Yeah, that's right. Or a screw loose in my tractor. We know Steve has a screw loose in his tractor.
Steve has a tractor.
Several screws loose.
He does
loose.
Have it. Yeah. Several screws loose. Anyway, we are coming to you from Trenton, Missouri right now. And what are your quirky picks this week,
well,
Deanne?
Well, I am going... Sorry, I'm going to join.
Getting all choked up being with us, okay. Are you?
I'm choked up being this close to you here. No.
Yeah, we're sharing a microphone.
And a headset.
She's got a big can of Lysol right here with her.
No, I want to share my best and worst. Is that okay with you, Steve?
Oh, yeah,
we
absolutely.
Don't care about Steve.
Yeah, okay. Well, I agree with both of you. I think that Top Gun Maverick was, you know, fabulous, and it was a huge hit this year, and certainly for all time, it just made a big splash. But I kind of want to give a little bit of a female perspective. And my favorite movie of the year, because I thought it was a little bit of an intense year, but my favorite movie was Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Wow, Steven.
That's a great choice.
You know, that was a great movie. Even though you have a female perspective, Steve and I have a male perspective on that. And it was a great movie for us, too.
Yeah. Well, actually, fact, my number three is like she said, and number four is The Woman King. So there, Douglas.
Well, The Woman King is what I think from a female perspective, or from my perspective, was the best. I think it was surprising to me. I kind of didn't even want to go see it. And then just the production of it was fabulous. The story was better than I expected. I'm so sick of Viola Davis, and I loved her in it. So yeah. It caught me off guard, and for me, that was my best movie choice.
And that'll be the quote that you'll find in one of the tabloids. D is sick of Viola Davis, right?
Sounds kind of mean, doesn't it?
No, but seriously, that's how it works in the tabloids. You can say what a great performance and everything else, and they'll take that one thing.
Last year, I was sick of Nicole Kidman. She was in everything, and I was sick of her. So anyway, yeah.
What about me?
No, I never get sick of you, dear.
Oh, dripping with insincere honey on that one. What else have you got for us, Dee?
Well, now my not faves, okay? So the one I really was disappointed in was The Fabelmans. I know everybody looks for the good things about it. I just didn't like it at all. I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it at all.
Wow. This is Steven Spielberg we're talking about.
I know, but who was it for?
I know, you know, and Blake Anderson said that too. You know, he didn't own the movie. He didn't say, yeah, this is me. And he didn't, you know, put his arms around it. And it left me flat too. I didn't hate it, but I sure didn't love this movie the way I thought I was going to. And I expected it to be much more kind of what we saw when he met John Ford, you know, when he was kind of inflicting himself as a little pain in the butt, honestly, on Paramount. That's what I thought it was going to be more about. I mean, I wanted to know his childhood. I wanted to see the train wreck. I wanted to see that stuff. But, I wanted to be more about Steven rather than maybe his family.
How about you, Steve? Did you like it better?
I did. I actually had The Fabelmans in my top 10 only because, well, maybe it's a respect thing. But I also, I think it was a very autobiographical piece, and maybe that's why people didn't go see it. They thought, oh, do we really need to know about Steven Spielberg that much? So maybe that's what.
Well, I would have liked to have
off.
Known a little bit more about his producing and evolution as an artist, I guess, you know.
Yeah, how did, you know, after that John Ford moment, which was magical, that was a true highlight in that movie for movie buffs, people that like movie history and want the backstory on how somebody got into the industry. I wanted to see, and we caught a little bit of that, honestly, in The Offer, you know, where you see, you know, Ruddy, who's just going in there and just kind of inflicting himself on Bob Evans and Paramount and all the things he's going to do. Yeah. Well, you know, the guy that really did that in a little bit of a later generation was Steven Spielberg. Right. And that's what I wanted to see.
Right. Yeah. And then the one that I really didn't like, and I hate saying this because it's in the theaters, and I am a fan of old Hollywood. I have books on it. I listen to podcasts. I love old Hollywood. I probably like it better than current. But I did not like Babylon. It caught me off guard in so many ways and kind of offended me in many ways.
Kind of offended. Good grief, Steve. You and I talked about this. We didn't even know how to describe it. You don't even know how to... And what do you recommend? Well, you don't show up for the first half hour, and then you kind of stay there for about 10 minutes, and it's really good. And then you check out again for about another 15 minutes when it's so offensive you can't even describe it. And then you come back in, and there's some really great Hollywood transitional moments. It's fun to see how the sets were all set up, you know, with cameras rolling everywhere on five different movies. But then when they take you into the dark underground of Hollywood, you have to check out, you know, go to the bathroom for another half hour, get some more popcorn, eat it in the lobby, don't come in. I mean, how do you describe this movie, Steve?
Well, I describe it as painful. I just sat there like, are you kidding me? And it was weird because Tobey Maguire chose that part of all the ones that he could have taken in that movie. He said, I want to play the sleazy guy that goes into the underbelly or you know, something even more dramatic than that. I just like, what a bucket of strange decisions from a bunch of directors this year. I mean, Chazelle.
Could have gone in and edited it to a good two-hour movie about Hollywood history?
Well, or maybe an hour and 45 minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, I get that you need that opening scene to try to establish the characters, but do it in a different way that doesn't, I mean, even a sensible, you know, a tougher audience would go, whoa, what are you doing? That's just ridiculous.
Well, I mean, even the old biblical movies, you know, that we saw in the 1950s and 60s, they could tell you how bad it was in Sodom and Gomorrah without showing you every intricate detail. I mean, for heaven's sake, leave a little bit perhaps to the imagination. There is nothing left to the imagination in this movie.
But now I have to tell you my most hated movie.
Oh no.
Wow. Are you ready? Dolly Parton's Mountain Magic Christmas.
It was terrible. Oh,
you know, I can't and again, double down on this one.
I know. Oh. And it was just TV, so your choice. But singing Go to Hell with Satan, it's got to be a pinnacle low.
It was a tragic moment in Dolly's career.
Everybody's career.
And wouldn't you think somebody would go, you know, Dolly, We love you, and we're so glad to be in this little holiday special, whatever it is. But don't do the dancing with the devil, go to hell scene. You know, seriously. You know, what would Porter Wagner think?
I don't. Wow. What would Porter Wagner
think? Yeah, what would Porter think? I don't know. Okay. I don't, yeah. So is that it?
That's my list. I got nothing else.
That's her list, and she's sticking to it, Steve.
Yeah, no, I like it. Babylon is on my worst list.
Absolutely. All right, it's Dee's quirky picks, and we're going over to have lunch at Galt.
At the Galt Cafe.
At the Galt Cafe afterwards, Steve, if you want to join us.
I am so jealous. I can't even believe it.
You should be jealous.
You ought to be.
Oh, my gosh, it's great.
It really is. It's this little hole-in-the-wall place in this little tiny town just off Highway, whatever it is, 6 over here, State Highway 6, and it is amazing. The food over here is great. I'm not sure if it's on the low cholesterol unfried list out there, but it's spectacular, Stephen. You're missing a great meal at the Galt Cafe.
Happy New Year, Steve. See you back in Utah. What?
Oh, you know, Dolly Parton has a special on New Year's Eve. Maybe she'll redeem herself.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me that you are joking. Does she really have a special?
It's Dolly and Miley Cyrus. They're teaming up.
Well, Miley. Oh, that's right. I saw the promo on that. Miley's in her Christmas special, so I'm not sure if that's going to be a recommendation to us or not. Okay, Dee's quirky pick.
The movie show.
Una puta solo?
Yes, Greedo. As a matter of fact, I was just going to see your boss. Tell Java that I've got his money.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Tis the movie show here at KSL News Radio. Steve, we probably ought to talk about another couple of movies that we would recommend out there. And maybe the best way to do that is with a little streaming news. So let's talk what's streaming here.
Planning on a weekend of binge watching? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Doug and Steve sort through it all, so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
Okay, you know, Steve, you and I have talked about this at some length, how close Top Gun came to being underestimated, underachieved when it comes to making the cash, and now apparently even some of the big kahunas at Paramount are admitting that, although somewhat begrudgingly. I thought this was interesting. I'm quoting from an article here. While they didn't admit it explicitly, it seems like Paramount executives have learned their lesson that theater-only releases are still very worthwhile. The chief programming officer of Paramount Streaming, Tanya Giles, said something similar, referring to Top Gun as a, quote, highly anticipated theatrical hit. Had they gone with their original plan, it is extremely likely that Top Gun Maverick wouldn't have been such a box office success as audiences could have simply tuned in at home. As it turns out, the statistics are bearing this out, that it won on both of the platforms. It won in traditional release and it won on streaming. The film has met success outside of the traditional box office as the platforms, Paramount Plus, platform's most streamed title, not of the year, but of all time. The previous most streamed title was Sonic the Hedgehog 2. It was beaten by Top Gun Maverick by over just a little bit, 60%, 60%. Wow. So I don't know, you know, do you think Hollywood's going to chalk this up as a lesson learned?
Oh, I hope so, because, and they need to thank Mr. Cruise for this. By the way, it's estimated that he made $100 million in his involvement in this film. So he's pretty happy, and Paramount, you know, they had a great year, and it was because of him and that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you think of some of the other people that have absolutely thrown themselves, you know, against the wall on this. I mean, you look at Black Widow, you look at, you know, Scarlett Johansson, you look at other, not just actors, but producers and directors and executive producers who have gone to the wall and have failed. And you really wonder, you know, what it's going to take. Hey, I've got to mention this, too, for streaming news. Heritage Auctions sold a little item from Ferris Bueller's Day Off for a ton of money. Any guess on what it might be?
Something.
A Ferrari.
Really? I thought
that
was a
replica. Well, there were
three. Yeah.
There are three. There's the one that actually drove. There was another one that actually crashed. And then there was one that basically is just a Ferrari in looks only. It is a hollow shell. It has no drivetrain. It has no engine. It has no nothing. And that's the one that sold for just an incredible amount of money, $337,500, basically for a prop. Wow. Now, if it was a real Ferrari, that would be a deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So, okay. a couple other things for streaming. Now, a lot of people were asking me, what happened to Yellowstone over Christmas? Didn't have one. They took the hiatus, and the new second half of season 5 will start January 8th. So there wasn't one on Christmas. Wow. There won't be one on New Year's. The next new one will be on January 8th.
Wouldn't you love to see the Yellowstone family Christmas, where they all sit around the Christmas tree there at the ranch, take us into the bunkhouse. They're opening presents, you know, and just singing carols. What do you think?
Not happening. Can you imagine getting ripped to do any of that? No.
Well, I can imagine Rip before I would imagine Beth doing any of that.
Beth. Couple other notes for streaming. Wednesday is definitely coming back for a second season. They have not announced
it
officially, but they have they've outlined a season 3 and 4, and Netflix would be idiots not to, continue that. I mean, even I saw a Russian figure skater doing the Wednesday dance routine at a meet or whatever they call them. I couldn't believe it. So, I mean, Wednesday has caught on and it is huge. Outer Banks, remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
Season 3 is in production now, and it'll be out sometime this year.
Good. You know, I really liked Wednesday. Although, I have to admit, you know, I'm going along with all the characters and everything else, and the one that I'm still trying to really wrap my arms around, I don't hate him, and it's not ruining it for me, but Gomez. I'm having a hard time. I can't remember the actor's name right now. You've seen him in everything.
Luis Guzman.
There you go. I'm having a little hard time warming up to him as Gomez.
You know what, though, that's funny about that? The original cartoons, he looks exactly like the original Gomez. I know we've had, like, you know, handsome guys like Raul Julia and I can't remember the other guy's name. He looks more like
John Astin.
John Astin, yeah. John Astin.
Yeah. Yeah,
but although the original Guzman cartoons looks more like
the other guy was just all around, and you know, and he had that dapper little mustache, and always wore the creased suits and everything. Yeah, see, I'm not seeing that, but you know, I appreciate where you're coming from, but the old New Yorker comic, I don't know, Gomez had a perfectly round face. Perfectly round body. He was so much shorter. Now, if that's what you're comparing, yeah, that's true to form.
Yeah. That's what
all I'm right. Anything on. Else? Anything else on streaming?
One
news?
Other movie, Wildcat, which is probably one of the best documentaries. This is about the young ocelot and the young man who was trying to train him to go back into the wild. That opens on Prime Video beginning today. So that's absolutely great documentary that people should see. And then White Noise is also on Netflix beginning today. So if you haven't seen that, and that's one of my favorite films of the year as well.
That is a strange movie. You got more out of the White Noise than I did. I saw it more as White Noise, which, you know, and if you're wondering what that is, just turn on the fuzz on your TV. That's White Noise, or kind of a staticky sound in the background. And I felt that it was kind of a pictorial trying to replicate White Noise. I just didn't quite find the deep meaning in it.
Well, I'm not sure deep, but I really enjoyed the writing. I thought the characters were hilarious. Didn't know where it was going, and it is a Modge Podge, but I got a kick out of it.
All right, on that note, we'll take a brief break. We will come back, and we're going to do a little early rendition of Telephone Torture. Because we have fabulous prizes, a plethora of fabulous prizes worth up to dollars. Stay with us.
The Movie Show.
Abby Normal.
I'm almost sure that was the name.
Are you saying that I put an abnormal brain into a 7.5 foot long, 54 inch wide gorilla?
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
You know, we have a special, unprecedented, never happened before version of Telephone Torture just around the corner here, so brace yourself. But first, we want to check in once again with my hearing centers, and Michelle is joining us right now, and we're in the final lap of the movie show, about 22 minutes to go. Can we still accommodate callers who want to be in the drawing for that Stiletto AX hearing device.
I'm feeling pretty charitable, so we can sneak people in. We've got room left. Like he said, go ahead and call in. It's 801-701-1629. We'll get you into a drawing to win a set of the Stiletto AX hearing aids. And for trying the hearing aids risk-free for 30 days, we'll give you a gift card to Red Lobster or Olive Garden.
You know, you think of all of the New Year's resolutions that we make and break. This is one that you ought to make and keep. Make the resolution right now to pick up the phone, 801-701-1629. Call my hearing centers, make that appointment, keep the appointment, and start, you know, hearing the way you're supposed to. And I'm always impressed with the lengths to which you guys will go to make sure that, first of all, people are comfortable. They know that there's no risk, there's no obligation, and, you know, you're not walking into some kind of a snare here. You just want people to be able to hear better, feel better, and enjoy life more. And there are just a few little rewards that go along with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, we say that we like to let our patients speak for ourselves. At this Murray location that I'm sitting at right now, if you go find them on Google, they have almost 400 Google reviews. 400 Google reviews with a 4.9 average rating, which is practically perfect and unheard of if you've gone and seen any other type of medical professional online. Really, we truly take care of our people. You know, we want our patients to leave happy, and this is really a life-changing moment. And if you're going to go have a life-changing moment, you should probably make sure that you like the people that you're seeing. So, you know, we're not just here to say, here's your hearing aids, good luck, get out the door, kick it and close it and lock it behind you, you know. We have people coming in saying, I need help with this, or you know, teach me how to use this. And we want to be your partner the entire way. Yeah, we can set you up if you want to be, you know, the captain, all hands on deck. But if you need help, we're here the whole entire time. And our patients just love us and appreciate us for that. And you can see it for yourselves. Go check us out on Instagram. Go check us out on Facebook, online on Google. Our patients really speak for ourselves. And that's what we take pride in, knowing that we're helping people change lives.
And even though we're talking about the Stiletto AX today, that may or may not be the hearing aid that is the magic for you. So I like the fact that, you know, it's not one size fits all. These folks are going to work with you at my hearing centers. So give them a call. The number again is 801-701-1629. Okay, Stephen, it is time. We need the music here to really get into the mood and the... This is a never before, never has this happened before telephone torture. Yes, there will be. I can't believe I'm saying this. It kind of makes me quiver. It kind of leaves me with an empty, hollow feeling. Oh, there shall be no losers. No losers on the movie show today. How are we going to look ourselves in the mirror, Steve?
Probably, well, for the first time.
Ooh. Well, we got this, you know, and I mentioned this with Blake Anderson a little earlier. Jeff the Whipple let us know earlier that if we so chose, this was not mandated, but if we so chose, we could wrap up the year with three wieners on the movie show. And here's what's at stake. And you can choose any one of the three that you'd like. And if all three callers choose number two, that's fine. Or number one or number three, it's fine. So option number one is the new Platinum X movie experience. This is the big screen effect. Four Platinum X movie tickets at the LHM Megaplex Theaters. This is only at Thanksgiving Point, Lehigh, where you also get two large popcorns and four large drinks. So again, you know, if you want to go to Lehigh and want to have that Platinum X experience, that's your choice. Then this one, option number two. Now, this is very time specific, so listen carefully here. Tomorrow only, Saturday, December 31st, this will be New Year's Eve at the LHM Megaplex Theaters at the District only. A family four-pack in the sensory-friendly auditorium. Now, Disney 100 Celebration Kickoff Mini Marathon, and it's a noon start time. So you basically just check in there at the theaters at the District, and you are going to see, along with others, so this is a four-pack family pack, four classic Disney original animated films, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, and Frozen. So that is door number two. And door number three, option number three, is the traditional prize package where you can go with two tickets and get two drinks and have a tub of popcorn at any of the Megaplex theaters. So, Stephen,
yes.
Is this unprecedented or what?
Well, I don't know how you're going to deal with having no losers today. Are you going to be okay?
I know. You know, I'm going to be here sitting at the farm. I'm going to have to go up into the loft of the historic build in 1923, right, Dee? 1923.
Just scream out loud.
I'm going to go up there and weep. I'm just going to weep because several people were deprived of being losers today on the movie show. Well, everybody who listens is a loser, I suppose, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, should we go to the phone line? Gustavo, clear those lines so everybody has a free shot. And let's find out who our first, I can't believe I'm saying this, wiener is going to be. Hi, who's this? It was a call from Mars, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe we
usually
even
don't
screw
hang
up
on winners? That's weird.
I know. They even screw up when they're going to be a wiener. I just don't understand it. I thought we had them trained better than this, Steve.
We're freaking them out. So what's happening?
Yeah, that's right. There's a shudder in the force going on out there. Okay, back to the phone line. And hi, I guess we kind of did have a loser. We did have a loser on the movie show, and it was the guy before you. Hi, who's this?
This is Don.
Don, you are a big
wiener.
Of course you are. You have won fabulous prizes worth up to dollars, but now, I mean, this is where the brain matter has to kick in. You have three choices in being a big wiener on the movie show. The Platinum X movie experience, the great big gigantic family four-pack in the sensory family, you know, friendly auditorium for the Disney 100 celebration with four amazing Disney animated movies, or the traditional movie show wiener pack. Now, what is it going to be?
I'll take number three, door three.
Ooh. You want the flexibility, and I understand that. Congratulations, Don. We're going to put you on hold, and then we'll extract all of the information we possibly can, you know, bank account, social security number, credit card numbers, things like that, so we can bestow upon you the door number three prize. Now, the door number three prize is not off the docket here, Steve. We can still give away another one of those, so let's go back to the phone line, and hi, who's this? Hello, are we back on Mars?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Mark.
Mark, guess what?
I'm a big wiener.
You are a big wiener. There's no doubt about that.
Yahoo.
Of course, you know, everybody's a wiener today on the movie show. I don't quite grasp the concept. But you have option number one, the Platinum X movie experience. You have option two, where you can celebrate with Disney 100 celebration, the four animated movies. But again, that is exclusively at the district. The other is exclusively at Thanksgiving Point, or the traditional movie show fabulous prize worth up to dollars. So what's it going to be?
Well, I think it's between option one and option three.
Ooh, so we're going to flip a coin for you?
Yes, you can. I think option one again at Thanksgiving Point? That sounds very nice for me and my wife.
Ooh, you got it. The new Platinum X movie experience, four Platinum X movie tickets. That's at Thanksgiving Point, two large popcorns, four large drinks. So you're really cleaning up. So we are going to put you, Mark, you're going to be on hold for a couple of minutes, and then we'll extract all of the information humanly possible from you and your social security number and, of course, your safe deposit box key. Okay?
You can have it all because there's nothing there.
My kind of guy. All right, we're going to put you on hold, Mark. Congratulations. And now this will be the final wiener. We have a trilogy of wieners today on the movie show. And hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Tamara Moss.
Tamara, how are you?
Wonderful.
You are wonderful. You are our third wiener. Now, we do have a decision for you to make. Yeah, ding, 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 ding. Option number one, option number two, or option number three. What's it going to be?
One.
One. Huh? You got it. You are going to be hanging out with Mark and his crew at the new Platinum X Movie Experience at Thanksgiving Point. Four tickets, two large popcorns, four large drinks, and congratulations and thank you for listening to the movie show. You realize you're our final wiener of the year.
That is awesome. It's my first time being on your show, so it's great.
Wow. Well, are you going to join us again, or have you learned your lesson?
Well, I usually work on Fridays, so this is my day off.
Well, see, that's why we have podcasts.
I'll definitely check it out.
Hey, thank you so much. We're going to put you on hold. We'll get all the info and we'll get all the goodies to you. Well, that was an unprecedented experience, Stephen. I don't know if I'll ever recuperate.
Now, don't you feel good?
No. We need losers in this world, like us.
Well, today we're alone.
What, did I leave you speechless on that? Thanks for noticing me, right?
No, I thought it was a nice change. Nice change of pace.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. It was, and thank you to Jeff the Whipple, who came up with the idea, if we so chose, and Blake Anderson, the president of Megaplex, who when we had it, I think I could feel his whole body just relax and a big smile on his face to think that there were going to be three wieners today.
Movie show.
Rule number one for surviving Zombieland, cardio.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I always thought it was the double tap, Steve.
Oh, it's always the double tap.
Yeah, that's kind of the, you know, safety net. Okay, Stephen, I'm interested to hear your top 10 list of the year. Go for it.
Okay, Top Gun Maverick, number one. Spirited,
right.
Number
I
two.
Agree. Ooh. Okay.
Number three, She Said. Number four, mm-hmm. The Woman King. Number five, RRR. That's the film from India. Number six, The Fablemans. Number seven, Wildcat. Number eight, Del Toro's Pinocchio, as opposed to the worst list, Tom Hanks's Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Number nine, Everything Everywhere All at Once. And number 10, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Everywhere, you know, I wish that... Maybe I'm a missing link, or maybe I need to watch it again. But, okay, you ready for my list?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Number one, Top Gun Maverick. We agree on that. Number two, The Woman King. I was surprised. Dee and I, we talked about that a little earlier. Number three, Elvis. Number four, Del Toro's Pinocchio. Do not be led astray. Number five is Puss in Boots. I really
nice.
Love Puss in Boots. Both of us did. I'm going to put Avatar in there at number six.
Wow.
Number seven, Black Panther. Number eight, The Outfit. I love that little movie. Number nine is Spirited. And just because this movie has haunted me, The Banshees of I've got to put that on the list. So that's my top 10 list. And let's see. Yeah, we have a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about some of the wave off. Did anything on my list? Did you like them all?
Oh yeah, no, that's a great list. I don't know, Black Panther and Avatar probably wouldn't be on my list, but
yeah, a couple of yours would not be on my list, but in fairness too, a couple beyond the ones that I would recognize, I have not seen. So I'm a little shy on a couple of those. Okay, worst movie of the year. Do you want to know what it is? Hands down, absolutely, no sweat, no competition, no discussion. Pearl. Am I right or am I right?
I haven't seen it yet. And based on your disrecommendation, I guess, I have yet to see it, although it's made a lot of top 10 lists, Douglas.
I know. How embarrassing.
Okay,
what is your
worst
movie of the year?
The real worst movie of the year is a tie between Moonfall
and
Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe.
Well, especially with Moonfall for something that's supposed to be kind of mainstream. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's a Roland Emmerich movie, and wow, was that garbage.
Yeah.
Beavis and Butthead, Morbius. Morbius is on that list. The Bubble.
Okay.
Yeah. Tom Hanks is Pinocchio.
The Northmen. Yeah. Okay, we're out of time. We could go on that.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Steve, hey, thanks so much for being my partner for the last year. And, you know, love the movie show. Love doing it with you. Love our listeners. Believe it or not, even with telephone torture. And we'll be back, despite popular demand, next Friday with the first show of the new year.
Yeah, we'll be at NPS next Friday. I can't wait. And drive safely coming home. And happy new year.
Hey, and you're welcome to go to Galt with us and have lunch.
Tempting.
This is KSL-FM Midvale, KSL-AM Salt Lake City. It's 12 o'clock noon and tonight. When you go home, please make sure that you hug the people you love.